Grady McGowan hunched behind the controls of the tunnel boring machine and wiped sweat from his brow. A giant cutter wheel slowly rotated in front of his cabin's shatterproof window. Twin conveyor belts rumbled beneath it, transporting the excavated bedrock back to the waiting supply trains. The cabin's digital temperature reading flicked to 90 degrees, 8 times higher than the brutal winter above ground. His t-shirt clung to his body, and he banged his fist against the faulty vents for the 100th time. 11 hours of gouging a path below the Hudson River had mentally and physically drained him, and he still had one to go, but double shifts went a long way toward paying for college tuition. He glanced at the photo on the console, showing his wife and daughter at the top of the Empire State Building. Caitlin was so small in that picture, but Daddy's girl was growing every single day. Grady straightened in his seat and focused. Drilling was all about timing, knowing when to push forward, when to pull back, when to readjust. He increased the cutter wheel's revolution speed and pressure, powering the machine at as hard as possible without compromising its integrity or direction of travel. Construction of the Z Train subway line extension had progressed around the clock for 2 years. Grady loved the overtime, but cash wasn't his only driving force. One day in the future, he imagined sitting around a crackling campfire with his grandkids, telling them how Grandpa helped build the most advanced subway system in the world. This boldly conceived expansion, capable of handling 8 subway trains at speeds of over 70 miles an hour, would connect 4 of New York City's boroughs with New Jersey in a matter of minutes, with express stops in the city going as far as Jamaica Center and the Bronx, and expanding the actual subway service into places like Jersey City and Hoboken, thus sucking more and more of New Jersey into the official metroplex. It was the most ambitious infrastructure project since the time of Robert Moses, and probably just as controversial. The cost alone was a staggering number, but to hear the politicians speak of it, the benefits would outweigh the expenditure in a matter of months. Especially with the pièce de résistance, the state-of-the-art underwater visitors' pavilion, the crown jewel of the Z-Train, and the place Grady and his team were close to reaching. He was a small component of the overall plan, but knowing the importance of this current push, he couldn't help but feel he was playing a vital role in the project that could completely change the city. It was a good feeling. A screen on his console displayed the progress of the other 4 drilling teams, each closing in on the same location. The onboard GPS calculated his arrival in 55 minutes at the current speed of 30 feet an hour. It left just enough time to get home and see the Giants fail to make the playoffs. Some called his football prediction cynical, he called them inevitable. Grady nudged the power lever, upping it to the maximum safe level. The axle's grind increased in pitch. Smaller rocks bounced on the conveyor belts, shards of granite spat in every direction and battered his window. Everything held steady, though, and the machine churned him inches closer to the taste of buffalo wings and an ice-cold Coors Light. Suddenly, the cabin jolted. A warning alarm buzzed on the console, and the controls shuddered in his hands. The cutter wheel's normally steady rotation increased to a blinding whir. What the f... The machine lurched downward before he could finish his thought. Grady slammed forward, the harness that the union insisted he wear, knocking the wind out of him. He gasped, reached out his left hand, and, going by feel more than anything, yanked the emergency brake. Nothing happened. The geology had been surveyed precisely, and he had expected a wall of dense bedrock for the remainder of this stretch. Whatever was happening, though, meant the survey was very, very wrong. He grabbed the gear lever, downshifted, and slammed the machine into reverse, but its momentum continued without slowing. Grady tried the brake and gears again, forcing the levers backward and forward, attempting to gain any kind of traction, any kind of control. The left side of the machine jolted against jagged rock formations, throwing him sideways, and his shoulder smashed against a locked door, hard enough for him to know there was going to be a nasty bruise tomorrow. He hung there, leaning against the door, tensing for the inevitable crash. Rocks pounded the glass, leaving white shatter marks. Thank God for protective glass. And then, a length of rigid steel flipped from the cutter wheel, speared through the cabin's window like it was paper, and impaled itself into the part of his seat his shoulder would have been if the machine hadn't been tilted. The machine continued to plummet on its side, letting out a deafening metallic screech. Grady swallowed hard and closed his eyes. Images of his family raced through his mind, standing by a hospital bed as a proud father. Snapping out a picnic blanket in Prospect Park for his two favorite girls. The heart-bursting joy of hearing his daughter's first words. The cabin bucked hard. His handheld radio hit the ceiling and shattered into pieces. A booming crunch came from the axle area, and finally, the machine juddered to a halt. Shouts echoed in the distance. Grady grasped the still-swinging emergency cord and ripped it down. An air horn blasted, alerting workers of a tunnel collapse. His next priority was to get the hell out of wherever he had crashed. He swept the photo off the console, slipped it into his jean pocket, and unlocked the door, which was now pretty much his roof. The machine had come to a rest at a 45-degree angle in thick mud. Its body and working parts resembled scrapyard junk. 100 feet above, thin light streamed into the darkness, marking the beginning of his violent descent.